If you got your Bibles, turn to 1 Samuel chapter number 4, please. It's good to be out to church. I've got something on my heart I want to preach. I believe it'll help you if you let it. I'm going to be gun barrel straight tonight, okay? I just want to give you something tonight. This has been on my heart. I see this so much in the ministry, and I want to deal with it tonight. And look at 1 Samuel chapter number 4. And stand with your Bibles open. I'm going to read just a little bit of it. I'll probably cover most of the chapter. Actually be dealing with two or three of these chapters in 1 Samuel. And I'll finish up Daniel soon. When I feel led to preach something on Wednesday night other than a series, I feel led to do it. I'm going to do it. Amen. And I can always get back to Daniel the next week or so. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
For Samuel 4. And the word of Samuel came to all Israel. You know, if you study the New Testament, the things that happened to Israel, the Bible said, was for our example. That we ought to learn from it. Amen. Now, Israel went out against the Philistines to battle. You might make a note in your Bible, they fought all the time. The Philistines hated Israel. And pitched beside Ebenezer, and the Philistines pitched in Aphek. And the Philistines put themselves in array against Israel. And when they joined battle, Israel was smitten before the Philistines, and they slew of the army in the field about 4,000 men. And when the people were come into the camp, the elders of Israel said, "Wherefore hath the Lord smitten us today before the Philistines? Let us fetch the ark of the covenant of the Lord out of Shiloh unto us, that when it cometh among us, it may save us out of the hand of our enemies." So the people sent to Shiloh, that they might bring from thence the ark of the covenant of the Lord of hosts, which dwelleth between the cherubims, and the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were with the ark of the covenant of the Lord. And when the, notice this language here, and when the ark of the covenant of the Lord came into the camp, all Israel shouted. Well, let me say it again. All Israel shouted with a great shout, so that the earth rang again. Literally, this shook the earth. That's what it said. And when the Philistines heard the noise of the shout, they said, "What meaneth the noise of this great shout in the camp of the Hebrews?" And they understood that the ark of the Lord was come into the camp. And the Philistines were afraid, for they said, God has come into the camp. And they said, "Woe unto us, for there hath not been such a thing heretofore. Woe unto us, who shall deliver us out of the hand of these mighty gods? These are the gods that smote the Egyptians with all the plagues in the wilderness. Be strong and quit yourselves like men, O ye Philistines, that ye be not servants unto the Hebrews as they have been to you. Quit yourself like men and fight." And the Philistines fought. And Israel was smitten. And they fled every man into his tent. And notice this. And there was a very great slaughter, for there fell of Israel 30,000 footmen. And then if you'll go on down in there, you'll see the ark was stolen. You'll see the two sons of Eli were slain. Eli was taken back with the news that he was a heavy, fat man who was old and fell back and broke his neck and died. And one of the boy's wife, Phinehas's wife, was with child. And the news was so startling that she went into labor. She died while having the baby. They named the baby Ichabod, meaning the glory of God has departed. I don't know about you, but this is a real sad, pathetic scene. And this was a scene about the children of God. It is sad. It's a sad day when the children of God live in defeat, when they can live in victory.
Amen.
Our Father, we ask you to help me preach. I know what you put on my heart. It's such a great thought. It's where we struggle as believers. And I ask you to help me just to communicate the truth to these your dear people tonight. And we'll praise you and honor you in Jesus' name for his sake. Amen. I'm going to give you three thoughts tonight from this passage of Scripture. I will say this to you. They were fighting the Philistines at a time when they were in great sin. By the way, you'll never win a battle for God when you're in great sin. You'll actually be overcome by your sin and be defeated. Hey, God's not pleased with sin. And I want to say this to us all, that we, and until we deal with our sin, we're going to lose the battle.
Amen.
Somebody help me preach right there. So there was a great sin. They went out to fight. And I'm going somewhere, so y'all stay with me. They went out to fight and lost 4,000 people. Well, that shook them. By the way, anytime we're defeated, it ought to shake us.
Yes, sir.
You know what I'm worried about? I'm worried about too many Christians that are defeated all the time and they're not shook about it.
Amen.
I mean, when the devil gets the best of us, it ought to shake us up.
Amen.
Now, I want you to notice the second thing. Here's what happened. They said, let's go send to Shiloh. That's where the Ark of the Covenant was. How many's heard about the Ark of the Covenant? How many of you know what was in the Ark? Raise your hand if you know what was in the Ark. Tell me one thing in the Ark. Aaron's rod and his blood. Tell me something else in the ark. Somebody over here. The manna. Something else. The tablets. And manna. They said, go get the ark. Bring it down here. Now notice the little word. That it. That it. Let me say it again. That it. Might save us. May I say again, that it might save us. I want to preach on this thought. The sin of substitution. By the way, I don't like substitutes. I like the real deal. Somebody say amen. I don't like, you know, they got this salt called no salt. And it ain't no salt. And I'm in a kind of a different time in my life right now. Because my blood pressure is low. My doctor does, when he calls me up to treat my blood pressure to give it up, he says, eat more salt. Well, that's joy to my ears, son. I mean, I get that old salt, and I had me a boiled egg for supper, and I want you to know something. About a half a pound of it was salt. And there's no substitute for the real deal. And there's some of you little spoiled brats back there, you like margarine. Come on now. Especially some of you youngins. That's all you eat is margarine. I eat the real deal. Real butter. Look at me, the real deal butter. I'm talking about cow butter.
Yeah, buddy.
You ever get one of Marguerite's cat head biscuits cooked real, real good and put about a half a pound of cow butter on it? You feel like your tongue will beat your head off. Somebody say amen when I tell you. There ain't no substitute for it. And by the way, there ain't no substitute for eggs either. They said, well, I heard somebody the other day say, I eat egg beaters. Well, they don't beat eggs, and I don't like them that well. So I want you to know, say, I'm going to preach tonight on the sin of substitution. Notice their great sin. Then they brought the ark in. And I want you to know something. They believed by bringing that box in that would deliver them. I want you to know something. There's too many times us as Christians, we believe symbols is enough to get the victory done. Because you're a member of a church doesn't mean you got the victory. Because you've been baptized don't mean you got the victory. Hey, symbols sometimes, they just won't get it. We need the real thing. Yes, that ark symbolized the presence of God, but that ark was not the presence of God.
Amen.
They shouted. Hey, man, I want you to know, they shouted so loud. They shouted so loud that the earth rang and echoed and scared the enemy to death. Oh, I might say something. I shout every once in a while. But I want you to know something. Shouting doesn't mean you're right with God.
Yeah, you're right.
I remember one time preaching in a church. Lord, you're like this. I was preaching in this church. I don't know how I get to certain places. But I know this. I didn't want to be there very long. They sang in one of your favorite songs, Lois. The Great Speckled Bird. Yeah, I knew you loved it. And how much ever heard that thing? Dear God Almighty. You're talking about a ridiculous song. Don't have no meaning. Ain't got no scripture to that. Clear crazy. And then people in that church, they were shouting and praising God. And man, they were, woo! And I'm sitting there thinking, what? How did I get here? Did Mark schedule me here? I mean, they shouted over some symbolic bird. Come on now. I'm going somewhere. Now notice this. They brought the ark in, and there was a great shout. So much so, the Philistines were frightened. And by the way, there's a lot of people got a lot of stuff on display in the name of religion that doesn't amount to a hill of beans. Somebody help me preach. Too much symbolism. You know why the Catholic Church is so void of the power of God? They got a lot of good, they got teaching in the church, but I'll be honest with you, but everything they got is symbolism. And if they could have found Aaron's rod with butter, they'd have that in their church. That's why God hid it. I'm going somewhere, Michael. Just stay with me. They said, bring the ark. So the ark came in. And then they had a great shout that was followed by, verse 10, a great slaughter. 30,000 people died. Instead of shouting before the slaughter, they should have cried before the shout, before the slaughter. Somebody say amen. See, here's the whole message I'm trying to get to. There's a lot of us got a lot of stuff on display. Lot of stuff on display. But not much in the stock room. Your little symbols are not going to overcome stress and depression and trials that come in your life. You're going to need more than a symbol. You're going to need the real deal. When the devil tried to destroy everything you have, and that's what the Philistines represented, you're going to need more than a box. You're going to need God. Amen. 1985, I went to Israel via New York City. This little country boy, 34 years ago, went to New York for his first time in his life. And when they took me downtown, it's different than it's now. And I'll be honest with you, I ain't never been nowhere like that. And I want all y'all to know, church members, I got a weakness. Can't help it. I had it, still have it, and will die with it. I love pretty ties. Just something about them. I do. I'm foolish about it. I love them. I was up in New York and I went into this shop. And I was, you know, man, that place was big and glamorous. And I went in and I saw some suits. But mostly there was real pretty shirts and ties on display. Little scale. It's 1985. I saw the prettiest tie these eyes have ever seen in his whole life. I said, glory to God. And I looked at the price on it. It had a price tag on it. $75. That's 34 years ago. You have any idea what that tie be today? And I said, I'm buying it. So I walk in, there's a little Jewish fellow there, and he comes about right here on me. And I said, come here. I said, I want that tie right there. Beautiful tie. He said, you can't buy that tie. I said, huh? I said, you got it out there, you got $75 on it, I'll buy it. He said, first of all, that's got a little nick on the back, and that tie ain't out there to buy. It's just a display tie. Well, I said, surely you got something back there on the tie racks and back in the stock room, don't you? No, I don't have no tie back there. That's just a display thing. I looked down at that little fella and I said, that makes me about half mad. Ladies and gentlemen, can I tell you something about us? We got a whole bunch on display. But when we go back to inventory, and we need something to get us through a trial, we need something to take us another mile, we need something to bring real revival in our churches. And I'll tell you what our futility is. We got a lot on display, but we ain't got anything in the stock room. And that's why they're... Number one, they had an overthrow. But number two, man, it's already 8 o'clock. I'm coming on, son. Don't you worry. I'm coming on. Look at verse number 3 again. We see their overthrow. But I want you to notice their oversight. How many got your Bibles right there? If you got your Bibles there, say amen. Amen. I want y'all to read verse 3 with me, will you? Ready? And when the people were come into the camp, come on, y'all can do better than that. The elders of Israel said, wherefore, come on. That it may save us. What an oversight. Your religion's not going to save you. Being a Baptist is not going to save you. Being a Baptist ain't going to say that's an automatic ticket for victory. Being a Baptist doesn't mean that you've got an edge on everything. Hey, I'm Baptist born and I'm Baptist bred, and when I die, I'll be Baptist dead. But I want you to know there's a lot of dead people in Baptist churches. They ain't got nothing. Wait a minute. Amen, preacher. Their oversight. I tell you what their oversight was. The ark was a symbol of the presence of God, but it was not the presence of God.
Come on.
And here's what we've done in the church. We have replaced substance with symbols. And there's a lot of Christians that are shallow as goldfish. They don't know their Bibles. They don't spend much time in prayer. They live a defeated life. God help me. Now let's, can I apply that? Let me just name a few things that we substitute. I don't want to get ugly, but I'm going to be truthful. Sometimes we substitute talent for a touch of God. I want to tell you, there's a lot of people told you how good you are at doing things. I want you to know something. You can be the most talented person in the world. And I know some preachers are way more talented than I am. But there's a big difference than having talent and having a touch. Somebody help me preach. Oh, yeah, man. Hey, by the way, we're unapologetic. We teach our preachers how to preach right. We teach them topical sermons, expository sermons. We teach them all that. We teach them inflection. We do all that. And we ought to. But I want to tell every one of you young preachers, you look at me right in my God-given eyeball. You'll never be anything for God just because we taught you how to break an outline and taught you how to form a sermon. You need God's touch.
Amen.
And there ain't no substitute for the touch of God. Oh, I'll go on a little bit. I just thought you'd like it. Sometimes people like a substitute of music for a message. And I love music. But ain't no substitute for preaching. Somebody help me preach. Sometimes we substitute a sermon for a message from God. Sometimes we substitute work for worship. By the way, we need to sometimes find a place to worship God. And then work. Then sometimes we substitute worship for work. All we want to do is shout and do nothing. Am I preaching? Oh, I'm going on. Some people substitute giving for going. By the way, we want you to pay your tithe and your mission offering, and you ought to. But there's no substitute for going out and telling people about Jesus. Oh, I'm going to give you this one. Sometimes we substitute going forward at the invitation for repentance. You can come to this altar every night, but if you don't repent, it does nothing for you. I'm telling you, if you come to the altar and repent, it ought to reflect in you being changed by God. Somebody help me preach. I got a few more of these. Some people substitute Bible knowledge for holy living. By the way, if your knowledge don't get you to live better for Christ, please don't tell me how smart you are in the Bible if you're not living a godly life. Some people substitute hearing God's word for doing God's word. Some people substitute a shotgun for a rifle. You know what I mean? Let me explain. This makes me about half sick of my stomach when I do it. And it really makes me sick of stomach when you do it. is this little something. Well, Lord, forgive me for all my sins. Why don't you just tell him, forgive me for being a gossip and a liar and a backstabber? No, I tell you what you want to do. You want to shotgun your repentance instead of specific, putting a bullet right in your gossip and your backbiting and your filth and your pornography and your junk. I tell you what, you ever name your sin and call it out to God, you'll really repent.
Yes, sir. Amen.
That's good preaching.
Yeah, come on, man.
Y'all all with me? I'm getting to the good part in a minute. Some of you probably said, hurry. Oh, I'll give you this too. This one right here. If you want to know something that bothers me, this one bothers me. We substitute our preferences for for principles. Now I want to tell you something. I do have a white shirt on tonight. And I know some preachers that preach, if you don't have a white shirt on, you're clear out of the will of God. I started to wear a blue one. The only reason I didn't wear blue tonight is because I didn't have a clean one. Wearing a white shirt may be your preference, but please, kid, Lord, help me. That ain't going to make you spiritual. Well, I prefer bluegrass music. Or I prefer traditional Southern gospel. Or I prefer... Hold a minute. That's all right. But please, because you prefer it, don't mean that I'm out of the will of God if I like the old-timey Southern gospel.
That's right, preacher.
Come on.
You're preaching.
I'm just going to tell you. We got a bunch of people that their preferences, they turned them into principles.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Hello. Good preaching, Reverend. I got a lot of preferences. I prefer certain things over other things. And because I am the leader of the church, I pretty well will do that way. But I want to be honest with you. Oh, let me give you something. Some of you might say, well, I prefer 6 o'clock better than 5 o'clock. Well, good. Hey, for you. But the 22nd, we're going back to 5. Okay? You said, but that ain't in the Bible. And you're a nuthead. Are y'all getting me? We deal with more foolishness in our Christian life instead of getting down to the brass tacks that we need God and we need a touch from heaven and we need the Lord to come near us.
Amen.
All right, hurry. Turn. Hurry. Turn to 1 Samuel 7. Hurry, hurry, hurry. We got there. Overthrowing. We got their oversight. Dear God, I don't want you to leave out the back door without you getting the overcoming.
Amen.
Turn to 1 Samuel chapter 7. 20 years have passed, Chad. The ark had been stolen. They had recovered it. And now guess what was happening? They're getting ready to fight, guess who? Tell me. Again. Have they learned a lesson? Have they learned a lesson? Can I ask some of you, when you sin, when you act like a fool, do you ever learn a lesson? You know what I say? Listen to me, there's a lot of people just, you know, they do wrong, and then they get chastened, and that's what they never learn. What got them in the mess in the first place? Turn, are y'all there? 1 Samuel 7. Come on now. Go down to verse 5. And Samuel said, gather all Israel to Mizpah. 20 years later. I will pray for you. unto the Lord. And they gathered to Mizpah and drew water and poured it out before the Lord and fasted on that day and said there, first of all, we have sinned. Until you are going to admit that you sin, you'll never get right with God. Verse 5 and 6. And when the Philistines heard the children of Israel were gathered together in Mizpah, the Lord of the Philistines went up against Israel. And when the children of Israel heard it, they were afraid. Last time, the Philistines were afraid. This time, the children of Israel is afraid. Listen here. Look at verse 8 and 9. Are y'all there? No, excuse me. Verse 8. And the children of Israel said unto Samuel, cease not to cry unto the Lord our God for us. Say it for me.
That he will save us.
Oh, are you tired of the it's? Are you tired of the symbols? Hey, are some of you just tired of living a life of defeat every day? Aren't you tired of it? Hadn't it about wore you out?
Come on.
What their request was? Wasn't the same one. Don't bring the ark of God that it might save us. You pray to God that he might save us. Ladies and gentlemen, somewhere along the line, let's put our religion, our little symbols to the side and get on our knees and pray to a thrice holy God and say, I need revival. I repent of my sin. I request that you take this battle. I believe in he, not it. I'm tired of symbols. I'm tired of playing church. I'm tired of fooling around. I'm tired of the devil taking over my hot life in my home. God help us to get on our knees and say, we need you. We need you, God. And I wonder how many people in this room walked in this church tonight defeated because you've been trusting the it's and not the him.
Oh, my. Come on now.
Let's quit substituting. It ain't going to get us nowhere. Stand with me, heads bowed. See, I want to ask you a question. I'm done preaching. How many of you need to serve people at the altar? How many of you need a touch from God and really need God to move in your life? Raise your hand. Hi, come on, raise. Why don't you just come on up here and pray? Just come pray. Father, touch this invitation. Bring folks up here close. Help them get tired of it and want you. In Jesus' name, amen. You ought to be up on your knees. Find a place. touch of God. Yes, He is. Yes, He is. Amen. Praise Jesus. Bless His name. Amen.